The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. It's the start of a new week, the dawn of a new era. Welcome to this Monday afternoon edition of The Dory Monson Show. Glad you're with us. Hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. We, as planned, as expected, had a very scaled down Thanksgiving. Made me sad. First time in my life, my two youngest daughters weren't with us. They both live in houses and apartments with roommates and had been social, and they're afraid. They've bought into the propaganda of what they could bring home to old dad. But they offered, which touched my heart. They have a big social event for a friend in mid-December, December 11th. And they said, after that, we're going to self-quarantine. And if you'd like, we'd come home a week before Christmas after quarantining and just hang out with you guys. And I said, I would love that. I would love that more than words could express, because I realized this last weekend how much I hated not having family together. And I mentioned this last week, that my whole life has been structured around family, as has yours. You know, I think that's true for almost all of us. But it was a very conscious decision even before I met my wife, long before we had kids. And holidays were lousy when I was a kid. And I structured my life and I said, I will never have a family like my family as a child. We'll have joyous holidays and we'll laugh and have fun and play games. And to see the wild exaggerations of this coronavirus, to see the absolute nonsense that government has been peddling. And no, the deaths are real and they're tragic. But closing schools is one of the phoniest bits of theater I can imagine. And kids are dying because of it. Kids are losing a year of their educational life. Kids are going to have PTSD after a year of sitting in front of their laptop or their phone. And it is a crime what we're doing to our kids. And now Anthony Fauci has done a 180 and said, oh, the kids should be back in school because there's no evidence of the kids spreading coronavirus to each other. And there's no evidence of kids spreading coronavirus to adults. So there's no reason to have our schools closed. And I'm going to get worked up about this. So let's get right into The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
I'm going to share with you a post from a Bellevue High School teacher. I've not been able to get hold of this person. We have tried. And since I have not gotten this person's name, I'm not going to give their name on the radio. But it was in a public Facebook forum with parents, and one of the parents shared it with me. And it's so important that we get this word out, because here's what we know. We know that if you look at teenage suicides from the year 2000 to 2019, it's a fairly level number. In 2020, there has been a big spike in teenage suicides, according to the Centers for Disease Control. Keeping kids locked up at home is creating depression and is killing children far more than coronavirus ever would. So we're killing kids. We also have school districts around the state where kids are failing in unprecedented numbers. Here, I'll give you the very latest that I just got today. This was in Richland, where at least 20% of the nearly 4,300 high school students in Richland are failing a class. That's double the usual number. Bellevue won't even send out first quarter grades because so many Bellevue students are failing. Clover Park, same thing. If you get a F, we'll upgrade it to a C because so many are failing. So kids are killing themselves. They're failing in school. They're overdosing on drugs. And we have government officials who apparently are, for reasons I will never be able to comprehend, are comfortable with that. Our data daddy, who talks about data all the time, he seems to ignore what is happening to our children. They don't have extracurricular activities, sports, band, drama, the things that get kids excited and fired up, especially the kids on the margin. They won't refund any of our tax money. We're spending $15,000 per student per year in our tax money. And with the building shut down, they're not refunding any of that. They should be sending most of that $15,000 a year back to the taxpayers. And the parents could take that money and form their own little co-op school. They could hire a teacher, form a co-op, and actually educate their kids. But it's the kids at the lowest levels of the margins who are suffering the very most. And we have politicians in our state who pay lip service all the time about how they care about the working class, how they care about the working poor, about the poor in our state. And yet those are the kids who are suffering by far the most. So let me get back to this Facebook post by a Bellevue High School teacher, because this is so important. Being a K through 12 mathematics educator for the past 21 years, with the last 18 being at Bellevue High School, I'm very torn about potentially teaching remotely, possibly into the spring of 2021 or the entire rest of the 2021 school year. On one hand, I absolutely respect my fellow colleagues' concerns about staying safe and not wanting to get COVID-19 through potential student spread in their classroom. At the same time, the Bellevue School District chose not to even administer first quarter grades because of teacher and parent concerns about the number of students that were struggling academically with remote teaching. I have about 10% of my high school students who have hardly done any work at all for the first 12 weeks of the school year. I've had multiple conversations with these students' parents, guardians, counselors, even having several meetings where we've gotten all the students' teachers together with the parents and guardians, counselors, and other support staff, such as the school psychologist or ELL coordinator. But to no avail. It seems that remote learning has failed these students. I keep trying to encourage them to start working on something, but they choose not to. Parents and guardians seem to be at their wits' end on what to do to try and get their child to engage in any learning at all. Several of these parents know they need to seek professional care for their students' mental health issues. But the wait list in the Seattle area to see a psychologist or psychiatrist seems to be at least several weeks, up to a couple of months, depending on what health insurance they have. The demand for psychologists and psychiatrists are very high right now. That is just the reality of the situation. Since the beginning of October, there have been at least 5 teen suicides in the Seattle area, which is very concerning, to say the least. I believe at some point the Bellevue School District, my fellow colleagues at the Bellevue Education Association, and the school board will have to look each other in the eye and really start thinking about how much longer we can afford to have students in the Bellevue School District continue to learn remotely before the damage that is being caused in remote learning is greater than the safety risk of going back to the classroom and teaching in person. My heart aches for these students. Each day that passes by, my concern for the long-term damage that is being caused to this generation of students, both academically and social, emotionally, only increases. I have 21 more years to teach before I can retire. How many of those years will I end up having to deal with the fallout, the consequences of potentially having up to 12 to 15 months of remote learning and social isolation imposed on this generation of children? Now I'm going to skip ahead, but at the end he says, I'm more than willing to head back to the classroom now than I was several months ago and teach in person, because I'm concerned the long-term damage that we are causing these generation of K through 12 students could be much greater than we might think it is. At the same time, I know I'm in the minority in the Bellevue School District in my thoughts on this, and do not see that mindset changing until a vaccine is available for teachers to get. But if that's not going to be until spring, how much additional social, emotional, and academic challenge are we causing on this generation of children? It's beautifully written. It's a very passionate teacher who clearly cares deeply about his kids. Now, let's get to the facts. Because Jay Inslee has claimed from day one to be the data daddy. But one of the people we're following for advice is Anthony Fauci, who everybody has acclaimed as a genius. Anthony Fauci this weekend told ABC News that schools should open. There's no evidence of kid-to-kid transmission. There's scant evidence of kid-to-adult transmission.
Not being facetiously as a soundbite or anything, but, you know, close the bars and keep the schools open is what we really say. Obviously, you don't have one size fits all, but as I said in the past, and as you accurately quoted me, the default position should be to try as best as possible within reason to keep the children in school or to get them back to school. The best way to ensure the safety of the children in school is to get the community level of spread low. So if you mitigate the things that you know are causing spread in a very, very profound way, in a robust way, if you bring that down, you will then indirectly and ultimately protect the children in the school, because the community level is determined how things go across the board. So my feeling would be the same thing. If you look at the data, the spread among children and from children is not really very big at all, not like one would have suspected.
Okay, so there he is. The data says kids don't spread it to each other. Kids don't spread it to adults. Will somebody explain to me why the wonderful young man who's a courtesy clerk at my Albertson store, he's on the spectrum, and he's working every day with a mask on for, you know, whatever they pay him. It's probably not much more than minimum wage. He encounters hundreds and hundreds of people a day. He's always cheerful, always friendly. Somebody explain to me why he can go to work every single day, and our teachers who are making $60,000, $80,000, $120,000 a year for a job that's 9 months of the year, why they cannot go to work when there's evidence that their not being at work is literally killing children, is literally taking away a year of education with a number of kids who have just completely dropped out. And why are we listening to Anthony Fauci on anything? So Fauci says no kid to kid, no kid to adult transmission. What do you say a couple months ago?
You might want to modify the schedule, a hybrid, part online, part in person, morning, afternoon, alternating days, whatever it is that the local authorities, and that there may be some areas that the level of virus is so high that it would not be prudent to bring the children back to school.
That was what he said a couple months ago. Now he says there's no evidence of student-to-student or student-to-adult transmission. So they just make stuff up. The data is all made up. What about masks?
You wear a mask, they wear a mask, you protect each other. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.
So I want to make it be a symbol for people to see that that's the kind of thing you should be doing.
Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask.
I mean, I do it when I'm in the public for the reasons that, A, I want to protect myself and protect others.
So he says there's no reason for a mask. He says you absolutely should wear a mask, that they offer some protection, that they offer no protection. He's all over the place. The data is being made up and children are dying, literally are dying because of it. Let's stop. If you're not going to open the schools, it is time to refund our school tax money and let the parents form their own homeschool co-ops and start getting our kids learning again and getting our kids involved. And let's stop the toll that this is taking. The teachers' union is the reason this is not happening. The teachers' union seems to be comfortable with whatever the death numbers are because they don't want to do as much work as would be required to move back into the classroom. Not individual teachers, the teachers' union. It's shameful. It's a disgrace. And that's your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Coming up next, a Dory Monson Show exclusive. We'll give you the latest on the scandal, and it is a scandal, at the Washington State Employment Security. We have a whistleblower who's been trying to get documents, and she will update the latest on her efforts next as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. As we have been following for months and months and months, there is what I believe to be some criminal fraud that is yet to be proven at our state's Employment Security Division, where they claim that Nigerian scammers got through a security breach, took $650 million, almost $300 million of which is still to be recovered. Somebody who's been following this very closely and has great credentials to do so, Lynn Brewer, was an executive at Enron during the Enron scandal, the greatest corporate scandal in our nation's history, and she has been following all of the funk at Employment Security, and she once again joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Lynn, it's always good to talk with you.
It's good to talk to you, Dory. Thanks for having me.
Blockbuster story in the Seattle Times. Sounds like they've been getting stonewalled just like you have. Last time you and I talked, they said they could not honor your public records request until well after Election Day. What's the status of you trying to get some documents and information on all this?
Sure, Dory. So I made a public records request on June 5th and June 6th. One were for all emails related to the delay in payments. And for the period, I think, middle of March or end of March to that June 5th period, and then all text messages between Levine and the governor related to the delay of payments. And they quickly said there are tens of thousands of documents, despite it being a 6 to 8 week period of time, which I found absolutely incredible. So they then worked with my attorney to narrow the scope, at least for the initial dump of documents. And to date, we've received nothing, and they've said that they cannot give any documents until December 31st, which is unreasonable. And so we filed suit a couple of weeks ago, seeking the court to deem those documents to be due and owing to us.
I'm just doing the math quickly in my head, but if they're saying tens of thousands, that would mean multiple tens, so at least 20,000 documents over 6 to 8 weeks. We're talking about, they are claiming that there are over 3,000 pages per day of documents between the governor and Susie Levine and within ESD on why they couldn't get payments out there?
Or they're not telling the truth, which, you know,
seems more
either
likely.
Way. Yeah, in 2016, there was a case that came before Washington State Supreme Court where the Seattle Times sued for documents from LNI, and they won. And the court said that, in fact, the fines, which can be up to $100 per day, can be not just a document, but a page within that document. And so in a what could turn out to be, if you take those tens or 20,000 documents or pages, a dollar a day times 180, it could be $1.8 to $3.6 million fine. So you have to ask yourself, why would an agency risk a $1.8 to $3.6 million fine to fail to turn over any documents?
Well, but if you've already lost hundreds of millions to Nigerian scammers, then let's just pocket change to them at this point.
Yeah, I suppose. And if you haven't lost your job, despite losing more money than Enron lost, you know, of course, there's no consequence for your actions and the delay of producing those documents. But the courts have been very clear that these documents, and as I've said to you before, we are the shareholders. Washingtonians are the shareholders of government in this state. And as such, we're entitled to see with complete transparency what's going on. And that's why the state auditor is now revealing that, in fact, she's been stonewalling the auditor's office as well.
Yeah, and that's
and not just related to this issue.
Right. That's what's so unusual about this Seattle Times story yesterday. The state auditor is a Democrat. Susie Levine at EFSD is a Democratic bundler, fundraiser for everybody from Barack Obama all the way up to this last presidential race. It's unusual to see Democrats in our state going after their own, but not only the state auditor, but some state lawmakers who are Democrats are very frustrated. I mean, there is something very ugly, it would seem, happening at employment security. And this has all the stench about it of a major cover up, as far as I can tell.
I would agree with you, Dory. There's certainly if some criminal activity has occurred. And as we talked about, I think the last time I was on air, that a whistleblower inside the ESD has said that for the 1 month period that this money was coming from the federal government, that they released the security parameters on the system that allowed these Nigerians and whoever else to hack the system.
So yes, and I want to make sure everybody understands that. They had a very high level of security. Somebody had to manually go in, lower the security threshold, and they now claim that's what allowed so-called Nigerians to get away with hundreds of millions of our dollars. And again, I just ask the question. And they said, well, we had to do that to speed up payments to the unemployed in our state. But payments were a joke, and people were going for months without even being able to get a phone call through to EFSD. And so nothing about this makes any sense to me at all, Lynn.
Well, I can tell you that I'm just now getting responses to emails that I sent in March. They're just now coming through. So, you know, this is the most poorly run governmental agency I have ever seen. And what is interesting is the state auditor, they're not just auditing related to the delay in payments. They're relating to the use of funds that the federal government sent in. They're looking at all sorts of things within this agency. And so, you know, it would seem to me that there is a whole lot of cover up going on.
And so they say it was Nigerian scammers. It has always been my suspicion that this was an inside job, given your experience with Enron and given your attempts to get some daylight to this. What do you think went down?
Well, I would say that at least when you have as much IT experience as Ms. Levine claims to have, having worked at Microsoft and Expedia, and the reason she was hired, although I think she was hired because of her ability to raise money for the Democratic Party, presumably the story that Inslee told was that she had a lot of technology experience. And so if she has that much technology experience that we put our trust in her, she certainly would know how to open the system up. She would know how to close the system, and could easily have opened it up for people to get their hands on it. Now, I'm not saying that I know that to be the fact, but that sequence of events on top of the fact that, you're now not turning over any documents to either a state auditor or to an individual, who has requested those under the Public Records Act, smells of something's not right in Denmark, as they say.
Well, and it just seems that anybody who's responsible for losing hundreds of millions of their employer's money, and the employer in this case happens to be you and me, the people of this state, they keep their job. Jay Inslee continues to give her a vote of confidence. Nothing about this makes any sense when you look at it logically. So what's next? When do you think we're going to have the next shoe drop here?
So I think that, certainly the legislature, both sides of the aisle, are starting to raise real questions about her ability to govern. The election is over. So certainly, other than raising money to go into Georgia for those Senate seats, she doesn't have much need for anything to continue to have an active role in our in our state agencies. But I think there's going to be, depending upon what goes on, we are going to sue for we're going to continue with this lawsuit, and we are going to get the documents. And as I've said to you, I'm going to share them with you. I'm going to share them with the public. And if there's criminal activity that went on, we'll certainly push to have prosecutions. As a private citizen, obviously, we're not in a position to do that, but certainly bringing to light what went on. If there is criminal activity, then it will be hard to, keep Inslee having her stay on board.
In the 15 seconds we have remaining, do you think somebody will end up going to jail over this?
Well, I think that certainly it would appear the reason that they're not allowing interviews even with the state auditor is because something criminal went on. And there, these decisions to meet or not meet with the state auditor, that's being directed by Levine and Inslee. The decision to withhold information and withhold interviews and reveal the information, that is being decided by Ms. Levine, period. It's her agency. Okay. So I think she's culpable.
The cover-up is usually worse than the crime, and in this case, the crime was absolutely shockingly huge. So if there's a cover-up on top of this, Lynn, keep up the great work. I can't wait to hear what you dig up next.
Well, thank you, Dory.
All right, Lynn Brewer, she was an Enron exec, a whistleblower there, and she is going to get to the bottom of what's going on at ESD in our state. I'd love to hear your thoughts on what you just heard. Text me at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. Regarding my opening monologue on we really need to get the kids back in school, text message from the 206. Sorry, I agree with you off and on a lot of subjects, but your position on this virus is absolutely irresponsible. You want to dismiss the number of deaths. You want to dismiss the predictions of massive numbers of increases. You want to act as if the kids going to school is simple. It's crazy. It is not simple. Not only do kids have to get to and from school, adults have to intermingle. Teachers have to intermingle. Facilities have to be cleaned. Okay, I appreciate the dissent, but explain to me, how can Albertsons and Safeway and Costco have thousands of people through their doors and there's no evidence of coronavirus being traced to grocery stores, but we can't sanitize our schools? At the grocery store, they wipe down the handles of the carts and the baskets before, they even say sanitized carts. The truth is, there's no evidence in all the European countries that reopened schools last spring. There's no evidence of coronavirus being traced to the schools. And now Dr. Fauci says the same thing. Kid to kid to teacher transmission. There's no evidence of it. which is why I want to share with you an email I got from listener Suzanne, who signs it Grateful American. Dory, love your show. I have such great respect for you and how you use your platform to speak the truth. It's often covered up. My two girls go to a private Christian school that's teaching in-person classes. They are going only because we have wonderful teachers and assistants. Teachers who aren't complaining or worrying about COVID. The schools are completely COVID compliant. Teachers who aren't buying into the Governor Inslee liberal scare tactics of fear and anxiety. I'm sick of hearing on the news how unsafe it is to be in the classroom. The CDC never recommended that schools be closed. Our school is doing well. The parents are being very diligent in keeping their kids home if they suspect or potentially see any sign of illness. These teachers and assistants are the heart and soul of our school. We even have at least three teachers who are pregnant. They still come in every day. They are amazing. I would like to ask a favor. During your show, could you please give a praise and recognition to our teachers at the Cordeo School and the preschool teachers at First Presbyterian Preschool, both in Tacoma? Yes, I do raise you up in praise. And yes, I'm happy to give recognition. And I know there are lots of other private schools, and I'm not going to be able to do this all the time. Suzanne was just the first to write to me. But I do have great admiration for those teachers who clearly care about their kids an awful lot. And that's why there's a growing number of great, caring public school teachers who care about their kids and say, we got to get back to school. And for the person who texted me and said, I don't care about the kids, once again, look at the suicide rates, look at the drug overdose rates, and look at the COVID death rates for teenagers. And you will understand that the let's keep the school closed crowd are contributing to far more deaths than anybody who wants the school open. Best 15 is coming up next.